lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You know, we as human beings, sometimes we place more importance on certain things and certain people more than we should. We place more of importance on what a person does and some of the things they must accomplish in their lives that we see them accomplishing. Well, we often look at someone like the president. He has to meet certain qualifications in order to be president, and governor of a state, or anything else of authority. We look at something and someone and we say, well, that person meets certain qualifications to be in that area that they serve in. Well, a pastor, there are certain qualities and qualifications that a pastor must meet according to the Word of God to be a pastor. And sometimes we overlook the fact that a pastor must meet many qualifications in order to be a pastor of a local church. And last time I mentioned the fact that a pastor, according to the Word of God, is to be blameless. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 says, a bishop then, that's a pastor, a bishop then must be blameless. And you keep reading, there's other verses, Titus chapter 1 verse 6 and Titus chapter 1 verse 7. Blameless means moral integrity of a certainty. That person must have moral integrity. Integrity means possession of firm godly principles. He should be a man free of immorality or of holding false doctrine. The pastor must preach biblical doctrine, thus saith the Lord. And the pastor's conduct should be irreprehensible, or in other words, or irreproachable. No one should be able to point a finger at the person and say that person has something in their life that shouldn't be there, that is sinful, that is knowing people know that there's a problem within that person's life. A bishop then must be blameless. Doesn't mean he's perfect. None of us are going to be perfect until we are with the Lord Jesus Christ, until we receive our new body. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back with in the clouds. He's going to descend with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. It's going to sound. He's going to call us up, come up hither, and we're going to go up to be with him in the clouds. We're going to receive a new body fashioned like that of his. In other words, we're going to have an eternal body that's a body that is never going to fade away, that's never going to die. We're going to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At that time, we will be perfect. But the pastor, it doesn't mean that he's blameless, that he's going to be perfect in this life. He's still a human being. Well, once again, the Bible teaches us that as we look at the qualifications of a pastor, keep in mind that there's more than one qualification. And sometimes we place more emphasis on one qualification than another. I would remind you that every qualification of a pastor is important, and we should not add to those qualifications our own feelings, but we need to look to the Word of God as we study what these qualifications are and what they mean. Well, the Bible goes on to say not only is the person to be blameless, but he's to be the husband of one wife. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 says, the husband of one wife. And so does Titus chapter 1 and verse 6. Sometimes we overlook something in this verse. We kind of spend our time in looking at the fact that he's the husband of one wife, but notice there's something else in this verse. The word husband. The husband of one wife. Now, listen what Man's Dictionary says about this, about the husband. The husband, a woman's spouse. The man is the man to whom a woman is married. And this is pretty plain. It's a man. In God's dictionary, the Bible says this. It tells us that the husband is to be a man. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It makes no difference how many times a person has an operation to change what they consider what they were born with, male or female, physical attributes. It makes no difference what they were born with. They say, I can be what I want to be with an operation. Well, you're born a man or you're born a woman, and you're going to die a man or a woman. You may mutilate the body in certain ways, but you're still a man or a woman, according to the Word of God. Mark chapter 10 and verse 7, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Nowhere does it say in the Word of God that a woman is to be a pastor. Now, this automatically turns people off when you say that, but they need to go to the Word of God. If they have a problem with what I say or another pastor says or another preacher says that a woman is not to be a pastor, then they need to take it up with God, because God says that a pastor is to be the husband of one wife. There's only one husband, and that is a man. The man is a husband. The wife is a female. The husband is a male. And this is taught all through the Word of God, that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. I don't understand some people. This is fundamental that we're either a man or a woman, and people get off on the wrong thing. And today, the day and time that we live in, some people get in trouble. Some people are even fined or fired, or something happens to individuals who say that a woman has become a man and a man has become a woman. That is totally, can I say foolish? It's totally foolish for a person to understand and try to get someone to understand that a man is not a man or a woman is not a woman simply because they have an operation. You're born a man or a woman, you're going to die that way. Now, the husband of one wife, the husband is a man. Now, also, I could spend a lot of time on that, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go to the next qualification. The pastor is to be vigilant. 1 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3 and verse 2 says, be vigilant. Well, what does that mean? It means to be vigilant is to be on guard. You're to be the guard of the flock. John chapter 10 and verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Now, once again, if a person is not placed there by God as a pastor within a local church, if a man takes a church or becomes pastor of a church simply because the pay is good, or because they've been called of a man instead of called by God, they're nothing but a hireling. They've been hired to do a job. Well, the pastor that is doing God's work is an under-shepherd. He is the shepherd of the flock. He's going to be watching out for the flock. He's going to watch for the safety of the people. If someone comes in trying to spread heresy within that local church, that pastor is to call the hand of that person and to warn the flock that something is not right there, that they need to listen to the Word of God. The pastor is not to be one who is simply hired as a person who's getting paid. Now, the pastor needs to get paid, but he should not be there simply to get money, and we'll see that later on. But a person who comes into a local church just to have a job is an hireling. He's going to run if something comes into the church to cause a problem. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The pastor looks out for his flock. Notice this also, that another qualification is the pastor's to be sober. You say he's not supposed to be a drunk. Well, not that either, but that's not what the word means, sober here. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, the word sober is used, and Titus chapter 1 and verse 8, the word sober is used there. Well, what this means is the pastor is not to be fanciful or speculative. And what he does and say is based on facts and rational thinking rather than on speculation. That's not what he thinks. It's what the Bible says. It's a man of sound mind who can make sound decisions based on the Word of God. He's not under the control of passions. And the bottom line is he listens to God. He's sober. Notice another word here that we see, another qualification. The pastor should be of good behavior. The pastor is to be a gentleman. He's to have good manners, and he's not slovenly, and that means sloppy in his appearance. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 talks about this as of good behavior. A minister of the gospel should be a finished gentleman in his manners. There's no excuse for him if he is not. In other words, he's not to look like someone who is not respectful to God's house, that he's not respectful to God's people, to his flock that God has placed him over. And once again, the pastor is to be a person who's able to present himself in a manner that he will draw attention, not to himself as such, but to the fact that he is a man of God, and he respects what God has placed him in doing, and that is to be the pastor of a local church. And first of all, he's saved, and people recognize that not only by his talk, but the way he looks and his mannerisms and the way he carries himself. He is a man who's living for God. He's of good behavior. And then we see another qualification given to hospitality. The pastor is to be one who is ready to receive and help the stranger who's in need. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 says, given to hospitality, and so does Titus chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, but a lover of hospitality. You see, the pastor is to be one who is ready to receive and help the stranger who's in need. It's not in keeping of a free table. In other words, an open house for all comers. In other words, God has given the pastor the authority to have a discernment, to be able to understand and recognize someone who's in real need. And that stranger who is in real need, that pastor is to be able to recognize that and help that person who has a real need, not just for someone who comes in for a handout. This pastor is to be friendly. He has a welcoming demeanor to all that he meets. I guess the bottom line here is he's kind. Well, not only is he to be hospitable, but the pastor is to be apt to teach. And the pastor is one capable of teaching the flock and gainsayers. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, let's look at that. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 says, apt to teach. The pastor is one capable of teaching the flock and gainsayers. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9 says that as well. He's capable of teaching, not only wise himself, but ready to communicate his wisdom to others. And notice this now, the gainsayers, the pastors is to be able to teach the flock, the people who are saved. But notice Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught as the pastor, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Pastor doesn't have to argue. He doesn't argue what he believes coming from the Word of God. He simply lets the Word of God do the work. He doesn't argue. He lets God take care of the gainsayers. He exhorts the congregation, and he tells the gainsayers, the people who don't believe, the people who have a problem, he lets them understand that it's all of God, and God's Word is the one who's able to help that person of disbelief.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.